Our first scripture reading this morning is from the 22nd Psalm, verses 25 through 31. Hear the word of the Lord. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him, indeed, shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying, he has done it. Our new scripture reading this morning is found in Acts 8th verse, chapters 26 through 40. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, get up and go toward the south to the road that leads down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road. So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go over to this chariot and join it. So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, do you understand what you are reading? He replied, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, about whom, may I ask you, does a prophet say this, about himself or is someone else? Then Philip began to speak, and starting with the scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. I'm just going to warn you, get ready to groan, okay? What building has the most stories? The library. A book fell on my head. I can only blame my shelf. I started reading a book about mazes. I got totally lost in it. How do you track a book? You follow its footnotes. Now, this one is not going to make any sense to anyone who has not read the Harry Potter books, but I thought this was so exceptionally funny that I had to include it. I found the first four Harry Potter books to be quite lighthearted. The fifth one was dead serious. All right, some of you. Okay, one more. A dinosaur that knows a lot of synonyms is a thesaurus. Now, anyone who knows anything at all about me knows that I love to read. I cannot remember a time when I could not read. Despite not attending preschool or kindergarten, or having the advantages of Sesame Street or Reading Rainbow, when I entered the first grade at the age of 5, I could read better than most of my classmates. In junior high, when I first read To Kill a Mockingbird, one of my top 5 favorite books of all time, I was intrigued and affirmed by Scout's explanation of how she came to read. She couldn't remember a time when she wasn't able to read the hymns in church. And she remembered sitting in her father's lap as he read the paper to her, and she followed his finger as he underlined the words for her. And she cannot remember exactly when the letters one day separated into words. She remembers in her own words, "I had stared at them words all the evenings in my memory." And the same was true for me. My father would read poetry aloud and move his finger, underlying the words, and from that point on, I could read. It's sometimes referred to as spontaneous reading. It is very distressing to me then when I have a conversation with my son, who is a teacher, when he tells me so many students at all grade levels are almost illiterate. Their reading skills are very poor, and they have difficulty comprehending what they are reading. An old journalism adage insists that when writing for a general audience, authors should try to imagine the audience as a group of 8th graders. Kind of insulting, if you ask me. But now it makes me wonder, when I work on my sermons, who am I aiming for? So I don't consider you a bunch of 8th graders. If I need to start, let me know, and I'll scale back. Have you ever had the feeling that some parts of the Bible are virtually unreadable? I mean, have you ever thought to yourself, what is the Apostle Paul really trying to say? Because let's face it, no one could write a run-on sentence like Paul. He is the master, to where you get to the end of the sentence, you think, what was this about at the beginning? Paul usually leaves the readers somewhat befuddled. And let's not even think about what some of those prophets in the Old Testament were saying. Well, in our scripture lesson from Acts today, we encounter a person who is trying desperately to understand the Hebrew scriptures, which is what the Bible would have been at that time. And he's not reading the easy-to-read stories, you know, like Moses being put in a basket and set to float on the River Nile, or leading the people out of Egypt, and the big scene where he parts the waters of the Red Sea. Oh, no. He's not even reading about Joseph and his favored coat and all of his adventures in Egypt, or even David picking up a stone and slaying the giant Goliath. No, none of those. That would be too easy. Instead, he is plodding through the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And if we were to read Isaiah 53 ourselves, we might just be as uncomfortable as the prince of Ethiopia. Like him, we might think that these texts read like obscure speech and difficult language, to cite Ezekiel. So this story in Acts of the interaction between Philip the evangelist and the Ethiopian eunuch gives us an opportunity to discuss interpretation and comprehension of the biblical text. Now let's look at it from 3 perspectives: text, teacher, and comprehension. Now, one, it is very unusual for this Ethiopian to be reading at all, let alone reading something from the prophets. The literacy rate in the land of Cush which is often the name associated with ancient Ethiopia, it probably wasn't any higher than it was in first century Palestine, where the literacy rate was barely 1%. In most villages, only one person, usually the leader in the synagogue, could actually stand up on the Sabbath to read the Torah. Their culture was one of oral tradition, and a person could be illiterate and still fulfill all the requirements of the law because it was passed down from generation to generation. Now, probably everyone here today and those joining us online can read. But many of us probably have more in common with those first century worshipers than we'd like to admit. A report by the American Bible Society shows that only 9% of respondents read their Bible on a daily basis, the lowest figure in several decades. What this means is that churchgoers generally are not like the Ethiopian of today's story. They're more like Jesus' neighbors who went to synagogue and couldn't read the scriptures to save their lives. But what saved them was that someone else could read. And today, if people read and hear the scriptures, it's likely to be in church. And if not, it's likely the scriptures are not read or heard at all. The implication is that the public speaking of scripture is as essential as it has always been. These literacy issues continued through several centuries until the period of the Protestant Reformation, when suddenly the invention of the printing press and reformers introduced printed Bibles in common languages. No more having to know Latin, you could read scripture in your native tongue. This was a huge, huge cultural shift. No longer did you just listen to scripture and have the church tell you what to believe about this text. Now you could read it yourself and learn how to interpret it and comprehend it. But this was not the problem for the Ethiopian court official in Queen Candace's kingdom in today's reading. This was an educated man. He was evidently trustworthy because he was in control of the keys to the treasury. He was somebody. But when Philip hitches a ride with him and sits beside him, you know, in his new Chariot XL, he sees that the man is troubled. The conversation begins with a question. Do you understand? No, he doesn't. Well, what don't you understand? And the Ethiopian explains. And then Philip explains. We need teachers. If we can read, we had parents and teachers who were instrumental in teaching us to read. As our learning increases, and if we consider ourselves lifelong learners, we know that we must do the research and we must find the voices of the past to gain wisdom about the present. We cannot, as so many seem to do these days, trust our own judgment or think we can make pronouncements without considering a vast body of opinion when forming our own. And this is especially true in matters of theology, ethics, and biblical texts. Before we begin to spout harebrained ideas about the meaning of the book of Revelation, we might want to consult some scholars and theologians of the present day, as well as those of centuries gone by. Establish how the text has been interpreted in the past. Then we might offer a new view, but not without being able to explain why. The Ethiopian was eager to learn from a teacher. He would have agreed with the biblical proverb, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight, your own understanding. Do not be wise in your own eyes." Philip asked the Ethiopian dignitary in the chariot, in so many words, "Just what don't you understand?" And the Ethiopian was like, "Everything." You got to love that Luke, the writer of Acts, notes about this encounter. Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture in Isaiah 53, he proclaimed the history all the way up to the good news about Jesus. He started with the Bible, as it was known in that day. The man was reading from Isaiah. So that's where Philip started, and led him on a journey through the Hebrew scriptures on up to the stories of Jesus. Even though at the time nothing had yet been written down about the life of Jesus. People are thirsty for good news, and Philip told him about Jesus. Now, sharing our faith is hard for many of us. It's not in our tradition. We don't do that. But perhaps we're overcomplicating things. We might ask someone, what don't you understand about life, your faith, your journey, your mission, your purpose? And after their response, say, well, let me tell you about my experience. My experiences with Jesus and how Jesus has guided me through all of these questions. It's not hard at all. If you find that you don't understand Scripture, take steps to find a new comprehension. Take a good look at the text. Find a teacher and explore the history of the text's interpretation. Ask yourself what it says about Jesus. The journey toward understanding is enlightening and rewarding, and I invite you to come on that journey with me. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.